Okay, we're on the Mem Aleph on the second wide line. We're about to begin the sugya of Nara Hamurasa. So now let's remind ourselves of one or two basic rules. We have definitely mentioned this in the past, but we need to do chazar. Min haTorah, before man and woman get married, they first go through the stage that's called Erusin. Erusin is sometimes translated as engagement. That's a very bad translation, at least the way that we use the word engagement. Nowadays, when a chosan and kala get engaged, that basically has no halachic weight whatsoever, other than some verbal agreement that they're going to commit themselves to get married. But at the moment, the kala, although she is engaged, quote unquote, has no halachic status of being connected in any which way to her chosan. Not so Min haTorah, and at the time of the Torah, they first did what's called Erusin. Kesef, Shtar. We do the Erusin, by the way, under the chuppah. When the chosan gives the ring to the kala, that is the Erusin. When he then goes either under the chuppah or into the cheder yichud, that's then called the nisuin, and they are fully married. Now, let's not discuss about chosan and kala today, and about the engagement, because as we said, it has no halachic weight. But min haTorah, and at the time of the Torah, when the chosan gives a ring, for example, to the kala and says, "Hurry up, mekudeshesli," she is betrothed to him. She is called a meureses, a na'ara, a girl meurasa. She is betrothed or engaged to the chosan. At that stage, she is in a halfway house. She is not fully married to him, which means they're not living together in the same home. However, she is halachically connected to him such that she is not allowed to marry or have relations with any other man whatsoever. And if she does, there's a chi of misa. There are further ramifications as well, which is not relevant to us at the moment, which is, for example, if she would pass away before the Nisuin, does the husband inherit her? And the answer is that no, he only inherits her after they fully get married. There are other halachas as well, which are not negeh to us. But what is negeh to us is very important to understand that a nara, a girl, hamma'urasa, who is betrothed, is essentially considered to be an eshes ish. Although not fully fledged married, but she's an eshes ish. If she now has relations with another man, the man and her are both put to death if it was done b'mezid. There is another halacha, and that is that the nara hamo'irasa, in addition to the fact that she's chayev misa, like we said, she's essentially considered an eishes ish. But there's another halacha as well, and that is, if she has relations with some other man whilst being a meurasa, besides the fact that she faces a death penalty, she also now becomes forbidden to her chosan. So even as long as the death penalty has not yet been carried out, but they are forbidden to have relations. Not only that, she's also forbidden ever again to have relations with the man who had relations with her. That's called asura. She is forbidden leba'al uleboil, to her husband and to the one who committed relations with her. Why? Because she committed this adultery. This, by the way, in parenthesis, is halacha ulamaisa. And unfortunately, there are tragic questions. I've been involved in questions like this. When you have a woman who's fully married, it turns out she committed adultery. But if she committed adultery, even in the event that the husband would choose not to divorce her, but she's forbidden to have relations with her husband. She's also asa forever to have relations with the one that she had now did committed adultery with. So we have a very difficult situation when a woman comes forth and she says, "I committed adultery." Do we believe her or we don't believe her? A very, very difficult set of circumstances which we're not going to get involved at the moment. Now, two Eidim come to Bezdin and they say about this particular Nara Amurasa, we hereby testify that she committed adultery. Again, she's not yet at the stage of Nisuin, which is fully married. But she is at the stage of Eirusin. That's why we're calling her a Na'aro Hamu'uroso. So the two Eidim come to Bezdin and they say, we hereby testify that we saw this Na'aro Hamu'uroso commit adultery. By the way, very important point, just before anybody asks, the exact same would be if she would not be Mu'uroso and she would be a Nesua, fully fledged married. And in fact, the Gemara later on will ask, so why are we discussing Na'aro Hamu'uroso? It's true, it begins from then, but it's not only then. So why are we homing in on Na'aro Hamu'uroso? The Gemara will discuss that later. But either way, that's what we are talking. Now, these Eidim, Reuven and Shimon, who have just now testified against this particular woman, the Na'aro Hamu'uroso, and have accused her of committed adultery, and they give their testimony. It turns out that Reuven and Shimon are in fact lying because Levi and Yehuda came along and they were mazim, Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven and Shimon are now the classic Eidim Zoymimin. As we know, what's always the rule? What do you do to the Eidim Zoymimin? Exactly what they were trying to inflict on the person they were testifying about. So L'chaira, the logic would dictate, if they were trying to get this woman killed, then that's exactly what should happen to the Eidim themselves, and they should get killed. This is the punishment known as Ka'asher Zomam. That is all the introduction, because we now have to see whether that's the case or whether it's not the case. But just before we see the Gemara, let's just add one more line. Every Eidus, without exception, has to be Eidus She'ato Yochol Lahazimo. For want of a better translation, it has to be mazimable. If for some reason Eidus is not mazimable, it's not considered Eidus. Which, by the way, we've already seen. This is the whole principle, of course, of Drisha v'Chakira. Imagine if they asked the Eidim, okay, what day did this take place? This murder, this Chilul Shabbos, and they say, I don't know. We can't remember. Well, clearly those Eidim now are not mazimable, because no other Eidim can possibly say, excuse me, you were with us on that very day. Which day? We didn't say which day it took place. So in that case, because the Eidus is not mazimable, it in fact is not constituted Eidus at all. And that's why you have to have the Drisha v'Chakira, because you have to have at every stage that possibility of being mazim the Eidus. This is the golden rule, an Eidus, which is e ato yochoil lahazimo, which is impossible to be mazim, is not considered to be Eidus. Now let's put those two introductions together. Two Eidim come to Bezdin and they testify that a particular woman committed adultery. We're talking about, for whatever reason, a Na'aro Hamu'uroso. So what is the halacha now? If they turned out to be Eidim Zoymimin, they surely will suffer the exact same punishment that they were trying to inflict on the person they were testifying about. But one moment. What were they trying to inflict on the accused? When they come to Bezdin and they say, we testify that this woman committed adultery, okay, and therefore, what are you trying to inflict on her? What would be if they would say, I'll tell you what we were trying to inflict on her. We were trying to cause her to be forbidden now to her husband. We were not coming to indict her in order to get her to be killed, death sentence in the hands of Bezdin. That's not what we had in mind. To be perfectly honest, we perhaps didn't even know that she deserves a death penalty, but we did know that a Na'aro Hamu'uroso is forbidden to her husband. That's what we were coming to do. If that's the case, it's now that they made Edom Zomerim. So what are you going to do to these Edom? You can't kill them because they were never trying to kill. You only inflict the punishment that they were themselves trying to inflict. But if they say, excuse me, we were never trying to inflict the death penalty, the only thing we were trying to cause is that she should be osser to her husband, well, obviously, that's a punishment that cannot be copy and pasted onto the Edom Zomerim. So what would be the halacha there? This is what the Gemara discusses. Have a look at the second wide line. Omar Rav Chama. If you have Edim in the case of Nara Hamurasa who became Zoymamin, the tremendous Chiddush of Rav Chanan, even though they turned out to be Edim Zoymamin and absolute liars, and the normal rule would be that they therefore deserve the same punishment that they were trying to inflict, which is what the Torah calls ka'asher zomam. Ka'asher zomam means as they were trying to inflict. So l'chayra, we should do the same. That's what we should do to them. They should be now killed. No, ein erogin. They're not killed. Really? Why are they not killed? Says the Gemara, because mitoich sheyecholim loymar, because they can always say, excuse me, lo oisro albalo bonu, quote unquote. We actually came just to forbid her to her husband, but we did not come to make her chayev misa. So how can you possibly put the Edim to death if they can always say we were not trying to put her to death? Have a look at Rashi. Edei nara hamuraso lekame porich. Later on, the Gemara will ask, maishno nara hamuraso, underline the knockout. Why is it that we're mentioning only nara hamuraso? Why are we not talking about a nara hanasua? Why is it that we're dafka talking about Murasa? Surely the exact same would be true in the case of Nasua as well. Says Rashi, don't worry, the Gemara will ask that later on. Lo oisra albalo bonu v'loi lo hoirga. We were not coming to kill her at all. The Edom can always turn around and they can say, we were never coming to kill her. All we were doing was, we were coming to make her forbidden to her husband. That is the rule of Rav Chanan. Now, what is the big problem? Let me just take out this phone, excuse me. Now, what's the problem with this principle of Rav Chanan? Rav Chanan has said, we cannot kill the Edim based on the Pasuk of Kasher Zomam, because they can always say, excuse me, we were never coming to kill this woman, we were just coming to inflict the other halacha, which is to forbid her to her husband. That is highly problematic. Why is it highly problematic? And this is why the Gemara is bringing this whole halacha over here. Haven't we just discussed Hasra? Says the Gemara, Vaho Asru Bo. Surely they must have given a Hasra. We just spent the better part of 2 days learning the halachas of Hasra. But the number one question, or one of the most important questions we always have to ask the Edim is, did you give Hasra to the accused? What does Hasra always entail? Informing this particular person, this is osa to do. What you're about to carry out is an Avera, number one. Number two, if you do so, here are the consequences. So how can the Edim possibly turn around and say, I'm sorry, we only had in mind, we were never coming to kill her, we were only coming to forbid her to her husband. What do you mean? Didn't you give Hasra to this woman? Didn't you say to this woman, if you carry out this act, then you will be Chayev Misa? You must have given Hasra. If there's no Hasra, the whole thing doesn't begin. So how can the Edom turn around and say, when we came to Bezdin, we were not coming to put her to death? We didn't even know that she's Chayav Misa. What do you mean? How can you have not known that? Didn't you give her straw? Says the Gemara, Vaho Asruba. But surely they must have given Asra to her. Answers the Gemara, no. Deloy Asruba. Indeed, they did not give her Asra. They did not give her Asra. The Eloy Asruba. But if they did not give her Asra, Heichi Mikdala, how could they bichlal ever put her to death? In other words, if they never gave her Asra, they never actually told her that what? That you will be Chayev Misa. Well, if that's the case, obviously, the Edim Zoymimin cannot be put to death themselves. Why not? Because they were never trying to inflict the death sentence. They never gave a Hasra. So why does Rav Chanan need to say that the reason why the Edim Zoymimin don't get put to death is because they can always say we had something else in mind? What do you have to come on to that? Obviously, they don't get killed because they never gave Hasra about Misa at all. Look at Rashi. Heichi Miktala. Seeing as she would never be killed. Because apparently we're talking about a case when they never gave Hasra. Is Pshita. If that's the case, it's overwhelmingly obvious. De inhu loy mikteli. Obviously the Edim can't now be killed. Why? Ka'asher zomam, quote unquote, ksiv. Because the Torah says, you do to them that which they were trying to do to the accused. In the event that they never gave Hasra, so they were never trying to put this individual to death. So there is no kasher zomam over here. So why does Rav Chanan need to tell us a whole fancy shtickle Torah that we don't put them to death because they can always say they were coming for a different halacha? Why didn't he say 1,000 times simpler? If they never gave her a straw, well, then she herself could not possibly be put to death. And if she can't be put to death, well, obviously they can't be put to death. They're no worse than her. Yeah.
Does she need Hasra in order to be forbidden to her husband?
Yes.
So if they didn't give a Hasra, then there's claim that their intention was just to be after forbidden for her husband holds as well.
No, there's Hasra on the punishment and there's Hasra on the Avera. They can tell her which consequence did they discuss with her. They may well have told her that, listen, you are about to be over an Avera. If you do so, you'll be forbidden to your husband. But there was no
they're not saying we only warned her that she would be forbidden for her husband. We never warned her to be the way we would kill her. They're saying there was no Hasra. So if there was no Hasra,
then nothing at all would happen to her. And that is the Gemara's question.
So if that's the case, then what was their intention?
Right. So that's the Gemara's question. If there was no Hasra whatsoever, then their intention was to do nothing to her. Well, if their intention was to do nothing to her, then obviously nothing happens to them. That's the Gemara's kasha. So what's Rav Chanan telling me a whole chiddush? We wanted this, we wanted that. It's all irrelevant. If there was no Asra, you were not trying to do anything to her. If you're not trying to do anything to her, definitely not trying to get her killed. Well, if that's the case, well, obviously the Edom themselves can't be killed.
Then what was the point of their being Zomim? Like, what was the point of their false testimony?
That's the moral discussion. Yes, or not?
Just to understand the order of events, the Edom come and they give their full Edus before they get interrogated. So wouldn't it come out in that part that they gave Asra?
No.
Like, wouldn't that be part of their Edus? Like,
they just testify what they saw. Then we would start doing Drisha v'Chakira. One of the questions, as we saw yesterday, was, did you give Hasra? Why do we have to ask them? Because that's not part of their testimony.
Okay, and then also this example, it's not exclusive to this example. This can work in any case where there's any type of Misa. the Aden Zomim can always step back and say, we just were giving a different warning.
Yeah. Correct. It's just over here in particular, it's more complicated because there is a double ramification. There's one ramification, Chiyuv Misa, and another Chiyuv of an Issa to the husband. So they can always say what we had in mind, A and not B, to which the Gemara is asking, but it's all irrelevant anyway, because if you never gave Hasra, so obviously this woman could never be killed. Well, if she can't be killed, then they can't be killed. So what's Rav Hanan being Mechadish at all? What's this big Chiddush at all? Says the Gemara, and this now Mamash brings us back to what we discussed yesterday. Be'isha chaveira. We discussed yesterday the principle of a chaver. A chaver doesn't need hasra, at least according to one opinion. So too, an isha chaveira. If you can have a man who's a chaver, apparently you can have a woman who's a chaveira. So a woman who's a chaveira, says the Gemara, va'aliba de Rabbi Yosi be Rabbi Yehuda. If we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, remember we discussed his opinion yesterday, the Tanya, because we learned in a brisa that Rabbi Yosi be Yehuda, I'm a chaver, ein, sorry, chasra. Rabbi Yosi was of the opinion that a chaver does not need asra, while if he shaloi nitna asra, elo la'avchim ben shoigig lemezit. Because the whole function of Asra is only to be able to discern the difference between Shogeg and Mezid, which is not relevant in the case of a Chover, because a Chover always is considered to be a Mezid. If that's true in the case of a Chover, so too in the case of a Chavera. So if that's the case, now we understand the story. Did these Edim give Hasra? And the answer is, no, they did not. But if they did not, wouldn't we just throw out the case anyway? No, because we're talking about an Isha Chaveira who doesn't need Hasra. So therefore, the fact that there was no Hasra is not problematic. If that's the case, now everything makes sense. We've got two Edim who come to Beis Din. It turns out the particular woman that they're testifying about is an Isha Chaveira, who doesn't require Hasra, and indeed they never gave Hasra. So what was their testimony? They walked into Beis Din and they said, this particular woman, the Isha Chaveira, we hereby testify that she committed adultery. End of testimony. They're then quizzed, Drisha v'Chakira, it all sounds very plausible. All of a sudden, Levi and Yehuda walk in and they say, excuse me, Reuven and Shimon are lying. They are Edim Zomimin. They were actually with us at that very time in a different place. Fine. What are we going to do now to Reuven and Shimon? So essentially, I would have thought, obviously, we should put them to death because that's what we're about to do to this woman. This woman is a Chaveira. She doesn't need Hasra, so she knows of all the consequences of her actions. So what are we about to Paskin? What were the Beis Din about to Paskin for this woman? They were about to paskin, you are chayev misa. So surely logic and the normal halacha would dictate that is exactly what we should do to the Edim Zomimin. Because your testimony was about to inflict a chayev misa on her, so too, surely we should now do the same to the Edim Zomimin. What was the chiddush of Rav Hanan? That no, we don't do that. Why don't we do that? Because they can always say, to be perfectly honest, we were never coming to inflict a death sentence on her. We didn't know she's chayev a death sentence. We never warned her about it. We didn't need to warn her about it because she's a chaveira. So how can you possibly put the Edim Zomimin to death because they were trying to inflict the death penalty on this particular woman? They can always turn around and say, actually, that's not what we were trying to do. Have a look at Rashi. Beisha chaveira de'ihi miktala, because she would have been killed even without Hasra. Imloy huzmu elu. Had these Edim not been Zomimin, had they been honest Edim, what would we have done with this woman? We would have put her to death, despite the fact she got no Hasra. She doesn't need Hasra. The Inu, however, but they loy miktali. That's Rav Hanan's chiddush. that they themselves would not, however, be killed. Why? Because they can always say, when we came to Bezdin, we did not come to be mechayev her misa. That's not why we came. We didn't even know that she's chayev misa in the first place. So why did you come? Well, we knew that a woman who commits adultery is osur to her husband. That's why we were testifying. So because they've always got this get-out clause and they can always say that we did not come to inflict the death penalty, we just came to asur her to her husband. So if you're not coming to inflict the death penalty, even though it's true that's what would have happened to the woman, but that's not your intention, the Torah says, ka'asher zomam. What's translation of the word ka'asher zomam? As they were plotting and planning. That's not what we were planning. Says Rashi, aval I omru hisreinu. But had they said that indeed we gave hasra, then you're in trouble. Ein hasra elo lahomis. Well, then definitely the function of hasra is in order to put somebody to death. The su, and after that, therefore, loy motzi lameima. You cannot possibly then say, well, loy lahor gabonu, we never came to put her to death. What do you mean you never came to put her to death? You jolly well gave her hasra, which is all about the death penalty. So therefore, we clearly have to factor out the whole concept of hasra. How do we eliminate hasra from the story? Because we're talking about an isha chaveira. So now the story is complete. The Edim did not say a word to this woman. Why not? Because she may know she's a chaveira, and whatever she needs to know, she does know. Fine. They come to Beis Din. They testify that she committed adultery. Did you give her hasra? To be perfectly honest, we didn't. But the answer is, it doesn't matter. We didn't need to. Fine. It turns out they're now Edim Zomamin. Says Rav Hanan, the tremendous chiddush, we do not put them to death. Ah, why don't we put them to death? Surely that's exactly what would have happened to this woman had they not been Zomamin. It's true. That may have been the inevitable consequence. But you cannot say that that's what they were intending to do. They can always turn around. Excuse me, we were intending just to forbid her to her husband, nothing more. You cannot possibly do to us any more than that which we were planning to do to her.
Yes, I mean, if there was no if there was no hasra, is she going to be forbidden to her husband? But she's not a chavera. Forget she's not a chavera, an average woman. No. If there is no, okay. So let's just, can I follow the Gemara for a second? Rav Hanan says it comes that witnesses testified that that this woman was, unfaithful. And he said, but they're not executed. Why aren't they executed? And they say, because maybe they're going to come and say that our intention was not to execute her. Our intention was to forbid her from being with her husband. And then it comes and it says, but didn't they warn her beforehand? And it comes and it says, no, this is a case where they didn't warn her. Stop right there. It's a case where they didn't warn her. So how can they then say that their intention was to forbid her from her husband? They didn't warn her at all. So how could their intention have been that they were...
Maybe I missed it. The function of hasra, as we just saw in Rashi, is only with regard to the chiyuv misa.
Okay.
Nothing beyond that. That's what Rashi says. Ein hasra elo lahomis. The function of hasra is only for the purpose of murder. Maybe indeed we would have forbidden her to her husband, even without hasra.
Now, my second question is, why then don't we say to them, oh, your intention was to forbid her from her husband, now you are forbidden for your wife?
Because that's not the same as what they were trying to commit to her.
Yes, they were. They were trying to forbid her from being with her husband. They should say to them, your intention was to do that. Now your punishment is you can't be with
your
wife.
But that's not the same. That's not
the same. Why isn't it the same?
Because one is testifying against a woman to forbid her to her husband, and you cannot now forbid the husband, the edim, to their wife. That's a different person completely. That's
the
not
same
cool.
Thing.
It's not. That's a different person. I was never trying to usher this woman to somebody else. It's only to her husband, which is not relevant to the Edom. So either way, now we've painted the picture. We're talking about there was no hasra. How can we possibly be talking about a case where there's no hasra? The answer is because It's Isha Chaveira. And an Isha Chaveira does not need Hasra. Therefore, she definitely would have been killed, and the Beis Din were about to put her to death. And at the last moment, in walked Levi and Yehuda, and they made Reuven and Shimon Edim Zoymanin. That's Rav Hanan's colossal chiddush. But nonetheless, they will not be killed.
By the way, we're not
killed, because they can always say, we were never coming to kill. All we were coming to do was to make a forbidden to our husband.
By the way, Rebbe, shogeg in a case like this would be, oh, I didn't know that I was being chayv misa. If I knew that I was chayv misa, nobody warned me, I wouldn't have done it. Is that what shogeg is?
Yes. Either I didn't know the punishment, or I didn't know there was an avera at all. One of the two. I didn't know it was also, or I didn't know it was punishable. I thought maybe it's also, but nothing happens to you. Or I didn't realize you get misa. Maybe I thought you get malchus. I didn't
so comes
realize.
Hasra, comes Hasra to say, no, there's no hashka or shogeg. It would be amazing. Right. You knew what was going to happen, and you did it regardless.
Exactly. Okay, we'll have to continue
and
tomorrow.
Is there a halacha on such issues as tinach shenishba or maybe lifnei iver, because you know it's such a difficult situation.
Let's just finish with one more line, which now brings us back to the introduction we made, and this we'll see tomorrow. If these Edim will never be put to death, why? Because they can always say we came for other intentions, then doesn't it necessarily mean that here we have a classic case of Edim who are not mazimable? But if that's the case, we're in a catch 22. Don't we have a principle that Edus, which is not mazimable, is in fact not Edus? So how does this get off the ground? Whenever two Edim come to Bezdin, if we know that they can never be made into Zoymimin, well, their Edus doesn't constitute an Edus from the outset. So what were they trying to do in the first place? Why would they come into Beis Din? Why would we ever accepted their Eidos? Surely it's Eidos that cannot be made into Zomimin.
But Rabbi, isn't Zomimin, are you some Itano? Isn't that the whole Zomimin? Is time and place? Are you some Itano? That's Zomimin, right? So how does the fact that
I can't carry out the punishment of Kasher Zomim. It's always got to be mazimable with the full consequences of Kasher Zomim. If I cannot do kasher zomam, well, that's it. It's not an edus.
So you're saying if I cannot punish them with misa, because that's what the zomamin is about, then it's not zomamin.
Right.
So even if I can say, even if I can't say atem ayis itono ayisem, because you weren't with me, you were there clearly, but therefore, right. But you're still not zomamin.
Correct. And that's the moral question. So if it's not mazimable, it shouldn't constitute an edus in the first place. So how do you ever now have Eidos against a Nara Hamorosa? So that we'll discuss tomorrow, Mitzvah.
I feel like my brain is cleansed.
Beautiful piece of Gemara. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow, Mitzvah.